Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you once again for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for your promises. And thank you that you came and that you do give us rest. Thank you for giving us your word. Open our hearts today as we look into it to learn what you would have to share with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If there's one thing that I probably hear as much as anything, it's two simple words: I'm tired. We can all identify with that, can't we? Either from physical activity or from inadequate, maybe we're not taking care of ourselves as well as we need to be. Maybe we're not getting enough sleep. Whatever the case is, maybe it's stressful situations that we're involved in our environment, having to do with family or having to do with work. Maybe it's from our own inner battles that we're fighting within ourselves. But we get tired. And that fatigue weakens us. And it makes us vulnerable to attack. And when we get tired, then we start looking for solutions. How do I feel better? How do I get some rest? And the devil and the world is ready and waiting to give us those solutions. It might be a quick fix. And, you know, we can just, we can take a substance and make us feel better, or make us sleep, or make us wake up, or whatever the case may be. And not that those are always bad, but if they become something that we rely on, and take to excess, then that's when they become a problem. Or maybe it's entertainment. I know I've used this before, and I've heard other people use this before. I need some downtime. I'm just going to indulge in this, and it's something that's not healthy. It doesn't mean that all of it's bad. Just sometimes it just again, it's what we're doing and why we're doing it. Or so we look to worldly wisdom to try to solve our problems. And the problem with that is usually simply this: it's all about me. It's self-focused. You deserve it. And what's going to make you happy? And you, me. And unfortunately, a lot of times what it does is it then disguises evil as good. And it makes things look good that really aren't good for us. And unfortunately, this has influenced the church. We have a lot of things going on in the church now that really are not, that they're evil, cloaked in good, and it looked good to us. But if it opposes God's word, it's not good. Of course, we have to know his word to be able to identify those things. But we need some rest. Our bodies need rest, we all know that. So do our souls. And what in the world does that mean? Rest in this context is not necessarily the absence of labor, but rather the presence of peace. Peace and harmony with God. And then, when we get to that place, when we have that rest in Him, then we're able to work in harmony with Him. And the joy that awaits when we get to that place is indescribable. I'm going to read today from Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 25. It says, "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and neither does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son determines to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light. Amen.
Amen.
Now, to add a little bit of context to what he's saying here, this passage immediately follows the key remarks that he makes on John, talking about John and who he is, and then about the judgment that is coming to those cities where he had preached who did not repent. But then it says, at that time. In other words, at the same time that he said these things, he also said this, but it doesn't necessarily come in sequence. It might have come after, might have been said at some point in the middle of these other remarks. We don't know. But that's the implication there. But the alternative translation of that phrase is on the same occasion. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit wanted this to be here. He wanted it positioned right here, where it is. And so we have it. And I think some of the reasons may be these: to address the arrogance of the unrepentant that think that they can do it for themselves, and think that they can do it because they can do it from the law. And the difference, I think, he is emphasizing between working under grace and working under the law. In Luke chapter 11, verse 46, he says in part, "Woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers." A little Texan thrown in there. Didn't mean to read it that way. But he says, you've hidden these things. He starts out this passage by saying, you've hidden these things from the intelligent, or from the wise, and revealed them to infants. Now, why is that a good thing? What does Jesus really say in here? You've hidden these things from the wise. Now, we know that true wisdom comes from God, and we know that true wisdom is celebrated. Read the book of Proverbs if you have any doubt. I think the problem here is what he's talking about is people who are wise in their own eyes. People who, as one passage says, professing themselves to be wise have become fools instead. Amen. Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Why? Because when we think we've got all the answers, we don't look to the one who actually does. Worldly wisdom, as James puts it, is earthly, natural, even demonic. In other words, it comes from an evil source. Worldly wisdom ultimately comes from the devil, not from God. And so even things that look good, you know, we always say, you mix a little bit of truth into the lie to make it look like it's something good. But ultimately, it's a lie, and ultimately, it's going to do you harm. Mm-hmm. But he says, you've hidden these things from people like that, and revealed them to babies. People who don't know anything, and who know they don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Jesus often spoke of entering the kingdom of God like a child. Matthew 18:3 is one of those places. But the theme of this is humility. It's not that, we're just naive and we believe anything we hear. Certainly, we ought to have that kind of trust in our Heavenly Father. But the passage really has to do with humility. Coming with the humility of a child, realizing you're the Father, I'm the child, you have all the answers, I need you. I don't have anything on my own.
Amen.
And this is pleasing in the Father's sight. Why is this pleasing in the Father's sight? Because pride interferes with our relationship to Him. Pride makes us think that we don't need Him, that we've got it all figured out. Pride was Satan's own sin. Acknowledging who He is, who God is the first step to truly knowing Him.
Amen.
Until we're willing to see Him for who He is, the Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God, then we're not able to truly know Him. And Jesus then goes on to speak about that. He says that everything has been given to me by my Father. Everything. That is all authority, just like Father God has, all power, all creation, everything.
Amen.
His Father has given to Him. And Jesus and Father have that kind of closeness, that kind of relationship. Jesus can be fully known only by the Father. And only Jesus could truly understand, truly know the Father. But then He says something interesting. He says, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. You know who that is? That's us. We can know the Father. We can know the Almighty God. Because Jesus has chosen to share that relationship with us. He's made us part of His family. He's made us joint heirs, as one passage says.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
All we got to do is come. Humbly come. And so He invites us. All you who are weary and burdened. Being weary, being tired, being burdened is a state, is a humble state. It's not the state of somebody who thinks who's got it all together, who doesn't need any help. But when we're weary, when we're tired, we come to a place where we admit that our strength is at its limit. We can't do it. And our past mistakes, the things that stress us out, the responsibilities of life, even the mistreatment from others, all wear us down. But we have to come to that place where we can admit we need Jesus.
Amen. That's the Lord, yes.
Now, another way that that can be translated there is all who work to exhaustion. And that points, I think, to the contrast that's also being made here between working under grace, working with Jesus, and working under the law, under legalism. Verse 29 makes reference to the yoke. Well, the yoke of the law was a common phrase of the time. So Jesus is contrasting that, and he's saying, take my yoke. My yoke is not like that. And the law did just that. It burdened men, people, with things that God Himself said, you're not going to be able to do it. But God came and made a way. Try as you might, You couldn't get it right. But he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. He is the source. And that rest that we need comes from relationship with him. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, if you think about a yoke, you think about it, you might have seen pictures. I don't know, not many of us have seen that in real life anymore because we use machines now. But you would, you put a yoke on the oxen so that they could pull stuff, pull a plow, pull a cart, whatever. And they had to be together. They had to be yoked in such a way you didn't put different sized animals or a weaker animal with a stronger animal. You had to put the right set together, or else what would happen is they would become injured in the process because you would be rubbing, the yoke would be rubbing. It would end up causing injury to one or both of the animals because they're not able to work together. But he says, his is comfortable, meaning that if we're working together with him, we're able to do what he's called us to do.
Amen.
And it's not going to be a misery. It's going to be a joy. Jesus contrasting here the law, especially as they practiced it, with the grace. He says, learn from me. Learn from me. I am gentle. Well, in context, he's talking about the law versus works, and he's got the picture there of the team. But he says, I'm gentle. Now, that doesn't mean that God is never a God of judgment. Sometimes we paint a picture. Sometimes I would read that passage and go, okay, Lord, I get that, and I need that. I appreciate that about you. But sometimes people paint a picture of Jesus as that's all he is. Well, in this context, yes, he is gentle. But let us not forget that he's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will judge the wicked. But that's not the context we're looking at here. He says, I'm gentle, and I'm humble in heart. Well, of course, contrasting that, again, with these proud people who have rejected him, but also, this is another thing that I would always look at and go, well, how can Jesus be humble? I mean, after all, he's the God of the universe. But look what he did. He humbled himself. He is the God of the universe. He is the Almighty. He is the All-Powerful. And yet, he's there.
Amen.
In the form of a human being talking to these folks. He's going to allow them to beat him and crucify him and kill him and put him in a tomb. Yeah, he's humble, all right. But it doesn't diminish who he is.
Amen.
And it's because of that he then was able to rise from the dead and to deliver us all.
Thank the Lord. Amen.
He says, you will find rest for your souls. Or another way to translate that might be a resting place. The peace and the rest comes when we're with him. Now someday, we'll physically get to be with him. But today, we can be with him in spirit.
Amen.
It's God's desire that we are working with him. I talked a little bit already about the idea of a team that's pulling together. If you try to pull in different directions, then we get hurt. But when we are willingly walking beside him, the work still gets done. It might even still be hard sometimes. But he says the work is easy because our soul is at rest. It might be demanding, but our soul is at peace. What does this look like? I think it looks different for everyone. Because we're called to different functions within the body. He has commissioned us to pull in different ways, to do different things, to make the whole work. But we must allow, in all cases, Him to be our leader. Come to Him, and He will give you rest. I don't know if I dropped a page or left something out or something other said. There ought to be more here, but I'm just going to kind of share with you from my heart on this, because as I was reading and I was preparing, I felt the Lord speaking to me about my own life. Because I'm in a new season now. Things have changed for me. And I always worried. I used to worry so much. Okay, I'm kind of liking where I'm at. I'm kind of liking the money I make. I'm kind of liking the things that He has allowed me to have. Of course, I tried to give Him the credit, but I felt like I have to do this. I have to do this. If I don't do this, then this is going to happen. And He let me go on like that for 20 years. But then He said, "Okay, now are you ready to let me do it? Are you ready to walk with me and work with me and see what I can do?" This message was as much to me as anyone. I didn't know it when I started on it. In fact, I started with a whole different idea. I wanted to give people, I know that people are hurting and people are suffering, and I wanted to find some way of being soothing and encouraging. And I hope that I've managed to do that in the midst of this. But the message came out entirely different than what I had in mind when I started, because He's saying, "I want you to do things my way now.
Amen.
You've tried it your way. And even within the church, we've tried everything our way. We've tried all these different things. And some of them are good. Some of them work. Some of them maybe haven't worked. But we've tried all these things. Okay, now, let's get before God. Let's get on our knees. Let's find out what He wants to do. And let's work with Him."
Amen.
And He promises us that we will find the rest that we seek. I don't know what that looks like yet, but I want you all to be encouraged today, as I'm encouraged. This is going to be a new season, and God's going to do great things.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for setting sometimes things that we think are bad that happen in our lives, or are you preparing us for something better? Taking away something that's not as good so you can give us something better. So Lord, we're looking forward to the thing that's better and for what you're going to do. Open our hearts. Let us hear from you. Let us be guided by you. Let us walk with you in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.